loose ends of the sugya we're busy with, which is the sugya of ishtadlus and betochen, particularly focusing on ishtadlus, trying to understand what this creature is. We see the different malchim in the, sorry, just let me do this nasty job that I was mezacha with. It's called mute all. What a terrible, terrible thing. Anyway, so we've seen the different malchim in the chiyuvim. You have a chiyuv to make ishtadlus, you don't have a chiyuv, it's a mitzvah, it's a chiyuv. The Ramban, you don't have to make ishtadlus bichlal. You have a chiyuv to make ishtadlus. According to the way Rav Taub has been learning this, there's some kind of a mitzvah of kiddush shem shemayim embedded in the ishtadlus. So whatever the ishtadlus is, even by the way, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, people don't notice this, but Rav Shimon bar Yochai also made ishtadlus. We bring him as the classic example of someone who didn't make any ishtadlus. But we'll see, he also made ishtadlus. He used to have to pick the kruvim and eat them. That's also some form of ishtadlus. Hashem didn't just nurture him intravenously. He had to go and drink the water, he had to pick the kruvim and he had to eat them. So that's not our discussion now, but that is a fascinating discussion. We see that in the great Nevi'im, Elisha, when he raised the little boy from the dead, he made some kind of ishtadlus and there was no one else there. It was kuli for him. So that we also understand. That's not my subject now. There is a reason why great tzaddikim like that had to make some kind of minimal ishtadlus, even though it doesn't even look like ishtadlus. You know, putting food in your mouth doesn't look like ishtadlus, but for someone on Rav Shimon bar Yochai's level, even in Mechaneh ben Dosa with the oil and the vinegar, why do you have to light vinegar? You know, just click your fingers. So that needs to be understood. But we want to discuss today, I want to discuss a very important question, which is very halacha lemaisa, very practical. It's not a magic wand. You're going to have to really struggle and grapple with this. It's not poshut. I know many of you have heard this from me before, maybe not even once, twice. Well, it's kedai to you. I've given this over to many, many people over the world. When I heard this for the first time, I heard this year from Moshe Miller Zatzal from Gateshead, based on, of course, everything he said was based on a Tesla. And it's life-altering, but it's ma'od useful to get a grip on this mitzvah ishtadlus. Whichever way you're looking at it, we need to know how much ishtadlus you have to make. And it's clear from all the mafoshim everywhere that you have to make the minimal. The minimal, Mesirish Shem says it, Chesal Vavah says it, they have to make the minimum ishtadlus that you can make, but nobody tells you what that is. There's no clear gedorim on what the minimum is. What's the minimum? So you'll hear stories like it's got to look normal, it's got to be what everybody else is doing, it's got to be more kasher. I'm not saying not. There are big people that say that. I'm not saying, look, it doesn't work for me because I don't know. Those guys look like they're working too much for me, or they're not working enough for me, or I don't know. It's got to be a very personal cheshbon. And I think that's the message. When the Mesirish Shem says you have to make the minimum because it's a knas, it's a fine. It's from the klal of b'zeh sapecha teich alechem. That's where the chiyuv of ishtadlus comes from. Therefore, you need to make the minimum. No one pays more tax than they need to. Everybody's trying to find good accountants and lawyers to pay less tax than you need to. And that's what he says. Since it's a tax, it's a klal, you have to do the minimum. Klal is, what's that minimum? How do you go about determining practically for yourself? I'm not meant philosophically. I'm meant for myself. How do I know what's the minimum ishtadlus? Just want to put in parentheses here, we may even get to look at it. Not everything you do for panasa or for making money is necessarily ishtadlus. Matisyahu Solomon, Shoshtak and Gesundzeit, points out the Dugma, somebody who's raising money to support the yeshiva. So he, like I did, I was horrified when I saw this, might think that that's ishtadlus, and therefore you do the minimum. Whatever you do, you know, you make a few calls, you try whatever, you did what you did, was there must be. He says, no, he said, that's not ishtadlus. That's mitzvah. Achzakus HaTayr is a mitzvah, and therefore a person has to do everything, the same as you do for a mitzvah. When you go about tefillin, you don't go, oh, whatever, give me whatever pair you've got, and you take them. No, you make ishtadlus, you learn the halachas, you go, you speak to the sofer, you find out who makes the best, who you can rely on, who's Yerushamayim. You have to do full-blown ishtadlus. So that's just in parenthesis. If you're Oisek in mitzvah, so there, you're raising money for somebody else, you're raising money for Hanasas Kala, that's not called ishtadlus, that's called mitzvah. Their person's requirement, don't fall into this, what we're going to discuss now. Some of it may be relevant, but that's not what we're talking about. Okay, fine. So to discuss this, to get to clarity on this, and I want to get real clarity on this, come up with serious definitions and first principles so that you can apply it to yourself, because no one will see. This is a very personal struggle, and so you're going to have to work with this. There's a lot of trial and error involved in this. Let's look at another subject, and then we'll plug it back afterwards. In the world of tshuva, if a person does an aveira and then he does tshuva, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu testifies that he won't aveira again. It doesn't mean when people make a mistake here. This is not a dashon. This is a Yom Kippur. We're very close to Yom Kippur, so I'll discuss it now. People think that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks and sees you've done tshuva, and therefore you're guaranteed you'll never do the aveira again. It's not the lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say Hayodaya kol ha'asidois. The Rambam doesn't say if somebody does proper tshuva, then the knower of all futures testifies that you'll never do the aveira again. No, he doesn't say that. He says Hayodaya kol. What's the lashon he uses there? Kol nistorois, or kol tozochei, or the knower of all hidden things testifies you won't do it again. It means now, the way you're standing now, you wouldn't do the aveira again. Tomorrow, maybe you'll do the aveira again. Quite possible, the Yetzer will kofetz on you and whatever. You will do the aveira again. That doesn't mevatel the tshuva you did now. The tshuva person does now, in this moment, he wouldn't do the aveira now. Now, standing where he is in the moment of charot or tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu testifies this guy won't do the aveira. Tomorrow is a different person, a different day is a different cheshbon. He may do it again. Not a stira. But the bottom line is that a person did an aveira, and now he does tshuva properly. He's in a better position now than he was before he did the aveira. How could that be? Well, simply, before he did the aveira, and I'm going to ask you to think about this and maybe even answer this. Before he did the aveira, yeah, could he do the aveira? Sure. Pariah, he did the aveira. Before this person did the Aveira, could he do the Aveira? Yes. How do I know? Because he went and did the Aveira. Now that he's done Tshuva, he's at Charata, and he's done Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu testifies he's not going to do the Aveira. So he's in a better position now, having done the Aveira and done Tshuva, than having not done the Aveira. That doesn't mean you go to the Aveira. Obviously not. The person does the Aveira because he wants to do Tshuva, he doesn't get Tshuva. He made a mistake. He did a Chet. He did Tshuva, proper Tshuva. Now he's in a better position because he's in a position where he won't do the Aveira again. Now, the same thing applies with the mitzvah. Let's take somebody did a mitzvah. Someone came knocking on his door and he had a moment of insanity and he signed a $10,000 check and he gave it to him. After the guy left, he was like, what was I doing? What was I thinking? He must be crazy. He has real charata that he did the mitzvah. The next guy that knocks on his door, how much do you think he's going to get? So this guy, before he did the mitzvah, was he better off than after he did the mitzvah at Charata? No. I'll give you enough clues. Anybody out there still awake? He did the mitzvah. Then he had Charata. Is he better off now having done the mitzvah and having Charata than he was before he did the mitzvah Bichlal? I don't know what you're shaking, Baruch. Can't hear you. You have to swindle your sound.
No, he isn't.
No, he isn't what?
He's not better off having done the mitzvah if he regrets afterwards that he gave the money away.
Oh, because before he did the mitzvah, he was on a level where he could do the mitzvah. Now that he's done the mitzvah and he's at Charata, he can't do the mitzvah. So he's worse off. Very good. Same as in the Aveira. Before he did the Aveira, he could do the Aveira. Now that he's done the Aveira, done Tshuva, he's put a block in the way, so he's better off now. Fine. So if that's clear, and I hope that's clear, because if that's not clear, then the rest is going to be very dismal, is like this. The Chayim Soloveitchik says that Ishtadlus doesn't help, but you have to do it. So we asked right in the beginning when we started this subject, what do you mean it doesn't help, but I've got to do it? My ketub is there. If it doesn't help, it doesn't do anything. Lama lasot it zeh. So we've seen what answers we've had. But let's try to understand perhaps that there is a connection. Yeah, let's see. Let's say a person on a certain level of betochen, whatever that is, 4 out of 10, 3 out of 10, 8 out of 10, lo mashane, person on a certain level of betochen, and based on that level of betochen, he conducts himself in a certain way. Let's say he decides he's not going to work for a year, he's going to go sit and learn, and he has betochen that Hashem's going to take care of him. right? Now, even at the end of the year, he has a look and he says, there was a great year, but things are not looking so good. I feel nikanu la'aba from now on in. I feel I need to make more ishtadlis. Fantastic, no harm done. He had a wonderful year. Now he realizes maybe he has to make more ishtadlis. At the end of the year, he may turn around and say, that was fantastic. I see that I can even make less ishtadlis. And I can push myself a bit more. All fine. But if you would turn around after the end of the year and say, what an idiot I was. Now I'm in debt. I don't have money. Look at all my friends who went and worked half day and learned half day. They're already, Baruch Hashem, they're carrying on learning. They're doing, I'm broken. I can't even carry on learning. What an idiot I was. So now, before he did this year's learning, was he in a better off position than he is now, or is in a worse position than he is now, in terms of his level of betachon? So it's partial. He's in a worse position now, because he had a certain level of betachon. He had a certain level of betachon, which enabled him to do something, and he doesn't have that level of betachon anymore because of the charata. So his betachon's been damaged by his lack of ishtadlis. It comes out there, according to this, that the Hishtadlis is there to protect your betochen. It's Eidu Moyel, like the Chovas Lavavah says, to make panasa, that's for sure. But it's Mukhrach, you know why? Because without the correct balance of Hishtadlis, your betochen is going to get damaged. If a person has a certain level of betochen, and he makes too little Hishtadlis, and it doesn't work out, and he's having charata, he's regretting it, so his level of betochen just went down. He's damaged his betochen. You should have worked this out for yourselves already, but what comes out from this is a person has to do the minimal hishtadlis that he can make in order that if it doesn't work out the way he wanted it to, he won't have regret. Again, you have to get to the point where you're making the minimal hishtadlis that you can make on condition that if it doesn't work out, you won't regret having done what you just did. Because if you do, you've messed up your betochen. The betochen you had before, everyone's got some level of betochen. But if you're going to have charata afterwards, you're going to damage your betochen. Therefore, the ishtadlis is there to protect your betochen. Awesome. Unbelievable idea.
However it works out, however much ishtadlis you put in, if it doesn't work out, the person's going to have charata.
No, not necessarily. No. You have to find the point where you won't. You have to find the point where you know that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was a gzeira. I made the correct ishtadlis. I made a cheshbon how much ishtadlis to make. I worked it out. It was valid ishtadlis. At the end of the day, the panasa didn't come. I betochen that that's from Hashem. And I'm happy with that, and I carry on. I may decide at that to make more ishtadlis. But without charata, there's plenty, you'll see, there's plenty room for a person to get to that space. No, you won't have charata. You have some level of betochen. If a guy's got no betochen, he thinks it's all him and it's koich veitzim yodi, you're right. Him I'm not talking to. Him I can't help. He has to get out of the sandpit first. But then somebody has some level of betochen that he's working, he's trying to work out. Instead of going to the office 8 hours a day, I'll go 7 hours a day. So if he doesn't make $1 million at the end of the year and he makes $800,000 at the end of the year, he doesn't have charata. He knew that it was a valid ishtadlis. He did the right thing. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he knows his panos is coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu to a certain extent, and he doesn't have charata. There's a difference between looking and saying, probably wasn't the best decision I ever made. I made me to make more ishtadlis, and having charata. The first guy, his betochen still intact, just feels he needs to make more ishtadlis. Yeah, it's trial and error.
He's having charata on his ishtadlis, not his betochen. If he puts in too little ishtadlis, he's going to say, ah, I regret that now. Not that I have a lack in betochen, I was an idiot. Betochen.
And in Achinami, that's going to damage his betochen. The betochen he had, is not going to allow him to do what he did again. He's now gone down a rung in betochen.
So the way that you just explained before, also, he's also going to make you go down a rung in betochen. If he ever decides to
No, he's not. No, that's the point. My betochen is intact. I just realized that where I'm holding, I need to be making more ishtadlis. But I don't regret the year that I just did sitting and learning. It was gewaldig. Now going forward, I need to make more ishtadlis.
Why would you have to do more ishtadlis?
It's betochen could even be greater now. We'll see, the higher the level of betochen a person has, sometimes he has to make more ishtadlis than someone has no betochen. We'll get there. I want to discuss that somehow as well. I'm not sure how to introduce it here, but we'll see. that sometimes the bigger Baal Batochen is able to make more ishtadlus because it won't affect him, because he won't think it's coming from him.
He's able to
have lower level of Batochen has to make more ishtadlus. We'll see. It's a word musubach. I'm just putting one principle on the table. I'm not going to the whole sugya here. One principle. Paul's man, he didn't have charata. He wasn't toyar rishonis. He's happy with what he did. He just feels that now he's re-evaluated, and he feels for him now he needs to make more ishtadlus. His betochen hasn't been affected. In fact, he's probably on a higher level betochen of now, and therefore he feels he needs to make some more ishtadlus. He hasn't gone and said, what a fool I was, I'm so stupid, what was I doing? Now look at the mess I'm in. Oh, he's an idiot, he wipes out the whole year. No, that's what he did. Just said, I did what I did, I've re-evaluated, and now moving forward, I feel I need to make more ishtadlus for my own inner yeshiva das.
Do you hear me?
Sorry, what?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you, Baruch.
The minimal amount of ishtadlus the Mesilas Yesharim is talking about, that has to do with what we feel is the minimal amount that we need in order not to affect our betachon. He's talking about
that. You have to make a decision. You have to make a cheshbon. And there's a bit of trial and error here because we don't know ourselves that well. Therefore, you have to move carefully with this one because there's trial and error. You'll see. So therefore, you have to move gently with it because you don't want to do a massive step and then have real charata. You want to be able to say, okay, you know, this needs a bit of fine tuning, needs a bit more adjustment. You need to make the minimum ishtadlus so that if it doesn't go the way you want it, you won't be tola rishonos. You won't have charata. That's the place you've got to get to. It means if for you, you know that if you don't work 5 hours a day, which is the normal, let's say, the normal guy in your business is working 5 hours a day, to do more than that would be ridiculous because nobody works more than 5 hours a day in this particular business, or 10 hours or 18 hours, let me show you what it is. And therefore, you feel for you that's the minimum. Because if it doesn't work out, you know that you're fine because then that's from Hashem because I did everything that I was responsibly supposed to do. Right? That would be, let's say, the minimum level of betochen a person has is he goes to work, he does what everybody else is doing, and for him, that's fine. Now he has a look and he says, you know what, I'm prepared to squeeze this a little bit. You know, I've been learning more about betochen and I want to trust Hashem more, and I want to, we'll come to it now. There's a condition here. I'm going to work, instead of 5 hours a day, I'm going to work 4.5 hours a day, and I'm going to betochen and Hashem of that half an hour a day. The end of the year, he does his cheshbon, and he sees, hey, he didn't have such a good year as he had last year. So now what does he say? Oh, you're such an idiot, Bertie. What were you thinking? Yeah, you can work 4 hours. Yeah, boom. No, that's not good. But he then turns around and says, look, it seems that, you know, maybe I tried a bit, you know, I squeezed myself. Maybe I overestimated myself. I'm going to go back to, you know, 4 hours and 45 minutes. Let's try that. That's fine.
Isn't that regret, though? That's not regret.
Regret is, hey, what an idiot I was. But you're going to look and say, okay, seems I'm not holding where I thought I was holding. And therefore, now I have to reevaluate. He's happy with what he did. He's happy with what he did. Again, what?
They're both affecting his betochen in the exact same way.
No, they're not. No, they're not. I'm sorry. I have to argue with you. I don't like arguing, but I'm telling you they don't. Charata's okay, the betochen. Stepping back and saying that was guns fine, I'm glad what I did, but now I need to reevaluate. Is not going to affect his betochen. His betochen will go up. You'll see. His betochen will actually go up. Again?
If his betochen would go up, then he wouldn't have to put in more ishtadlus.
He would. You'll see. We'll get there. That's the point you're missing. We don't have that yet on the table. Patience, we'll get there. Patience. It depends. You'll see. As I said, sometimes a person with more betochen has to make more ishtadlus. Sometimes a person with less betochen has to make more ishtadlus. Someone with less betochen sometimes has to make less ishtadlus. It's not clear cut that the more betochen, the less ishtadlus. It's not that clear cut. We'll see.
If you're going with the Chovas Levavos, then he could do more ishtadlus and he's Mekayim Kiddush Hashem.
No. The Chovas Levavos doesn't talk about Kiddush Hashem, that means with Taber. Chovas Levavos says it's an Isayon. It's to see whether you do the ishtadlus, the honesty and whatever, or whether you're there to keep you busy, because when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. In Achinami, but there's bigger Kiddush Hashems you could make. He's busy out there working in the office making a Kiddush Hashem. He could be sitting and learning. That's a much bigger Kiddush Hashem. No. We have to see. Everybody agrees, even the Chovas Halavavos. The Chovas Halavavos says, Mufurish, you have to make minimum. You have to make the minimal ishtadlus you can make. He doesn't say what that is. He says, you're not allowed to make more ishtalus than you need. It's for the chovos levavos, it's a very fine line, because the chovos levavos says, if you make too much ishtalus, then you overbid the Torah, and you're going to pay for that. If you do too little ishtalus, you're being negligent, and you're going to have to pay for that. So, but he doesn't give you clear gedolim of how to know what that minimal is. Rav Deska is giving a guideline to know what that minimum place is. The minimum place is this charata or not? Now, there's a big difference between charata, oh, I shouldn't have done what I did, and I'm such an idiot, and why did I do it, and feeling charet, as to say, I'm happy with what I did, but going forward, I feel I need to make more ishtadlus. Those are two very different stories, and they affect your betochen in very different ways. I know you disagree, Michi, I'm happy to live with that, but you have to practice this. This is something you have to try. Go ahead and have a look and see. Practice with it and play with it. You wake up in the morning and go, hey, what an idiot, I feel terrible, I'm so stupid, what was I thinking? And there's another one that says, let's do a cheshbon, the end of the year, we agreed to do this for a year, let's have a look where I'm holding. Listen, seems to me that in my situation, I need to be making more ishtadlus. Because if I don't, I'm going to come to a mitcharetet. But I haven't mitcharetet it yet. There's nothing wrong with that. And I'm saying that may even increase your betochen, but it certainly won't damage it. Your betochen's intact. It could be that at the end of the year, and I've plenty of situations like this, and the Chovos HaLevavos says it's mefurish. It could be at the end of the year you realize you're not making it, and you're not worried about it, because your betochen says it has nothing to do with my ishtadlus, and therefore I can carry on doing what I'm doing, because I know that changing the ishtadlus is not going to change the panosa. That's another level of betochen where a guy, it doesn't work out the way he wanted it to work out, and he doesn't change game at all. That's one. One is he realizes on his level he needs to make more ishtadlus, but he doesn't meet charet. And the third one is Toilet Rishonis, he's Mitcharet. Those are three very different stories. Now the work is practical, now the work is personal and practical. You have to go home and sit down and make a cheshbon and ask yourself, am I making enough ishtadlus so that if it doesn't work out the way I want, that my betochen will maintain the level, I won't have less betochen. I may have to change, that's fine, that's wired into the system, you'll have to change, but without the charotah. That's the principle, and the application of this is very hard. It's not possible to find this in yourself. It requires a lot of trial and error, a lot of cheshbon, and you'll see it's quite amazing. I know I get feedback from a lot of people. I gave this over once at a kiddush in New York to a bunch of guys who know how to make ishtadlus. Guys who, this subject was a bit foreign to them, that there's even a thing called, minimal ishtadlus and making less ishtadlus. And I've got calls from guys from that year that tell me, you know what, I dove in an extra half an hour slowly, because they dove in very quick. He decided to dove in a minute that's slower, and he gets to work half an hour later. We'll upset him there, because he realized that's not going to affect his panosa, and now he's able to do that. There's a condition here that I mentioned, that it depends what you do with the time. If a person says like this, because there's a big danger in betochen, that it becomes an excuse for laziness. That there's no room for that. How do you know? A person will say like this, look, I see that I'm working 8 hours a day. I dive in the 8 o'clock minion and I'm at work by 9 o'clock. You know what? I could get to work by 10 o'clock also, and I don't think that's going to affect my panosa. I think I'm fine with that. I think now I'm going to go to work at 10. So if he gets up and he dabbins at the 8 o'clock minion, and then instead of going to work, he learns from 9 to 10, or he's involved in, he goes to do bikacholim or whatever, he's oisik in a vodas HaKodesh in that hour, then gesundheit. That's an indication of betochen. But if he now sleeps late and he goes to the 9 o'clock minion, so that's not betochen. That's an excuse for laziness. He's going to stop working because he wants to sleep more. Now obviously, if he needs his sleep because that's important, and that's what the doctors tell him, we're not talking about that. Be very careful with the betochen that you don't use it as an excuse for laziness. And that's one of the tests. When you start making less ishtadlus, what are you doing with the time that you're saving? That will tell you very quickly why you're doing this. It may have nothing to do with the betochen, you may be fooling yourself. That's why this is not a simple avoider. This is a hard piece of work. But you'll see, it gives you the ability to start learning about yourself, getting in touch with yourself, and being real with yourself about where you're holding in betochen, and set up revaluation spots along the way, a little tachanot where you reevaluate before you get to the charata. They'll also prevent you from getting to the charata. By the way, just one more thing, Danny, I know you're waiting to speak. I'm not going to go into it now, but there's a follow-up to the shir, and that is what can you do in order to make your betochen go further? How do you go further with betochen? In other words, how do you get to a point where you can minimize the risk of being Tola Rishonis? One of them is not having too many physical demands. You're stuck with the mute. The less a person needs from this world, the less likely he is to have Charata. If he doesn't need that much, so he did less Ishtadlis, he didn't get what he needed, but he doesn't need that much, so he's less likely to Mitcharet. But if a person needs a lot, yeah, and then he makes a little bit of an adjustment, he doesn't get that lot, he's much more likely to Mitcharet. Somebody whose needs are very straightforward and very simple, and so then if he doesn't get them, it's easier. There's one of the things you can do to stretch your betochen, is to need a bit less, but you have to be careful, because you have to be real with it, because if you need them more, you don't get it, you could start getting upset and depressed, and you have to be very honest. You know, if you stop using the air conditioning in summer because you're trying to be stuck with the meal, so you're a fool, unless your mama's holding it. Because if the air conditioning's on, you're likely to function better, you're likely to get less irritable, you're likely to be a better parent, husband, wife. You have to use your seichel as well. The world's given to us as a resource, we have to know how to use it as well. So this requires a bit of maturity and a bit of seichel. And if you're not sure, ask someone who's objective, just to check out that you're being sane and that you're being objective. At the end of the day, it's going to be your personal avoider, but you can check with a friend or a rov or somebody who's objective. Am I being ridiculous or not? What do you want to ask, Danny?
It just seems that a person who wants to work on his bitachon, and let's say he's working for 5 hours. Now he decides, let's say 4.5 hours might be a good idea. And then he realizes at the end of the year, he's left 10,000. That's Peshter's bitachon and Hashem. See that my bitachon do the job.
So he's having charata. That's called charata, yeah. So then he shouldn't have done that. And now that he's done that, now he's gonna have to start working again. But if it doesn't stay his betochen, because he turns around and says, listen, I know that I did what I was supposed to do, and this is what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me. Hashem was good for me this. Well, I want to look at how that works. We don't have time now, but I'll show you how the Beis Halevi explains how Hashem does it and why he does that. But for our purposes now, he has a look and he says, you know what? I'm $10,000 short. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu goes on me. His betochen understands that. That he doesn't make the panasa that was gozer from Rosh Hashanah, that it doesn't do with his ishtadlis. But he's worried that going forward he may come to do some regretting. So therefore he decides, nikanu lahaba, he might start making more ishtadlis for himself, because he realizes that he's in a risky area here. So he hasn't had the charata yet, but he's worried that he may come to mitcharet, or he'll reevaluate and he'll make more ishtadlis. Or he might turn around and say, listen, I know that my ishtadlis has got nothing to do with the $10,000. I'm going to carry on making the same ishtadlis. His betochen has just gone up, or it stayed the same. We'll see. But you're right. That's why it's very personal. You need to know, am I bitcharetting, or am I just reevaluating going forward? That's a very personal place to be.
Thank you.
If a person knows that ishtadlis doesn't make his panasa, he's really holding there, yeah? Which is not an easy place to be holding. You have to daven very hard to get to the point where your ishtadlis and your betochen have been teased apart and they're two separate sukkahs. There are not too many people holding there. Okay, I've spoken to big people that tell me what an issoin it is for them. Don't fool yourself. The Tachin's one of the easiest areas to fool yourself. No, it's a real difficult issoin. Remind me tomorrow, I haven't got time now, I'll tell you a very cute story about this. I once had the chutzpah, the gaiva or whatever, to think in a certain area I didn't need to make ishtadlis. But I also had the seichel to ask a rov. And he told me, you have to make ishtadlis. I'll tell you, because I felt ishtadlis could damage my betochen. I'll tell, remind me tomorrow morning, if you remind me, I'll tell you the maisa. It's maisa shahoya, a moedika maisa that happened to me. But I've seen it in many cases where guys are making ishtadlis and the panasa is not happening, and then they want to change their ishtadlis or whatever, and they spoke to the Gedolei Yisrael and they told them, no, you're making the right ishtadlis, that's a good ishtadlis. The panasa is going to answer the ishtadlis, you keep going, and you'll see what will happen. And then either gets better or doesn't get better. And then later on, maybe you have to change. I don't know. It's my odd personal and different in each case. It's not a cloth, but you need principles. The principle is find the point where you feel you're making enough ishtadlis. So if it doesn't work out, you don't have charata, because you know you did the best ishtadlis you can make. Making more ishtadlis wouldn't have helped. You feel that strongly. So in the beginning, you might be a little bit machme. You might be making too much ishtadlis. And then you have to work it back again. Sometimes you realize you're making too little ishtadlis. You might have to play. That's, I said, there's trial and error, and Hashem allows you to make mistakes along the way. You don't have to. It's not all or nothing. You know, if you put your foot wrong, you get shot. No, the world also was built with rachamim, not just with din. You have to play with this, but you have to get real with yourself. You can't fool yourself in this area. Okay. That's what I wanted to say today. Think about it. There's feedback. There's more questions. There's more issues. I know there's not a simple sugya. I'm not expecting this to just get accepted in the Kubal and that's it. Because if that is the case, then you're not working. You're not taking stock. Go home and take stock and see where you're holding in this area. You might find you're making too little ishtadlis. You might find you're making too much ishtadlis. I don't know. You might find it's perfect. But whatever it is, when you want to work on sleeping less, if you're sleeping 8 hours, you don't start sleeping 4 hours. You start sleeping 7 hours and 55 minutes. You see how that goes for a while, and then you cut. Don't make big drastic changes. Just play with it a little bit and see where you go. The Seder.
Yeah.
So I hope that's helpful. I think it's a very useful place to start. This is just the beginning, and Mitzvah Shem, we'll build on this more as we go ahead.
Thank you, Rav Shem.
Thank you.